Well, we're going to be looking at that passage. When I'm listening to a message, I always find it very helpful to have my Bible open at the passage so I can refer to it. That might not be everybody's cup of tea, but it's just a suggestion, because sometimes these passages are not that familiar to us. And if we have it open in front of us, that can be helpful. Well, let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we pray that we'd be greatly encouraged today, Lord, as we listen to the message from this passage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this passage this morning, Dan, we've got a slide. There we go. Right, that's it. And I've got the clicker here. Yeah. Well, it's from a little book in the New Testament called Philippians, which was written by the Apostle Paul, together with his companion Timothy, in this case. And it was written to a group of Christians at this city of Philippi. I wonder how they would have compared with us, actually. I mean, they were just ordinary people like us at the end of the day, obviously living in a different culture, at a different time, different circumstances, but actually listening to the same message and knowing the same transforming power of Jesus in their lives. So this morning we're just going to be looking at the first 11 verses that Stella has just read out from chapter 1. Now, I think the first thing to say about these verses is that they express an incredible warmth and affection that the Apostle Paul, who had been traveling around the Mediterranean world, they expressed an incredible warmth and affection that Paul had for these Christians at Philippi. And that's what we're going to be looking at. Now, this is a map of the Mediterranean world around which Paul had been traveling with his companions in the first century, to take the good news out to the nations of the world, the good news about the resurrection of Christ. And as he shared this good news of the gospel, people believed and churches were planted, new Christian communities were created. Now you'll see on that map that there are the names of seven cities marked. These are seven churches to which Paul wrote letters. So we've got there Colossae, Ephesus, Corinth, Thessalonica, Rome up in the corner, and we've also got sort of Philippi, which is up just near there at the top, which is modern-day Greece. These letters were written to the churches to teach them about their faith and to encourage them. And these letters are the ones that we have in the New Testament today. And as I just mentioned, there's Philippi. The city of Philippi was named after King Philip of Macedonia, who'd lived a few hundred years previously, who was also the father of Alexander the Great. And it really became a very significant city, Philippi, in that it was the capital of the Greek Empire. In New Testament times, it had come under Roman rule. Again, perhaps a bit similar to us these days, it was a city with a very diverse population, with many different nationalities present. It was also a place of learning and had a famous medical school. Now, you can visit it today, but today it looks like this. These are the ruins of the old city, and what we've got there is of some Roman pillars on the right. That would have been the Roman Forum, which was like the marketplace and the heart and the bustle of the city, where all the commerce and government and so on happened. And Paul was there. Paul visited Philippi in around 50 to 51 AD. And it was there that he shared this good news of the gospel with the people of Philippi. He wrote his letter about 10 years later in AD 62. At the time, he was in prison, most probably in Rome. So let's pick it up in verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to the saints, meaning the Christians there. It actually means holy ones, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi together with the overseers and deacons who are leaders in the community. Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is a God of grace and he's a God of peace. And that grace and peace that comes from God the Father comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our mediator. Paul had a uniquely warm and affectionate relationship with this church. In verse 7, which I'll be referring to a few times, he said this, I hold you in my heart. Paul often showed remarkable affection in his letters. This is the only time when he uses this phrase, I hold you in my heart. The Philippian Christians were special to him. You know, God also gives us special relationships as well. And when he does, we should nurture them and protect them. See, the book of Philippians does have a lot to say about relationships. In fact, there's a Christian word for it, if you like, in Christianese, if you like, Christian language, but actually biblical language. And the word is fellowship. It's been said that fellowship is the essence of the Christian life. First of all, fellowship with Christ, or sometimes we might say communion with Christ, and also fellowship with other believers. And the word is found six times throughout the book of Philippians, but twice in our passage here this morning. So we're going to look at this passage a bit more, and I've got 3 points, as I like to have. First of all, looking at Paul's thanksgiving and his confidence for the Christians at Philippi. Secondly, looking at Paul's affection for the Christians at Philippi. And thirdly, looking at Paul's prayer. So let's look first of all at Paul's thanksgiving and confidence for the Christians at Philippi in verses 3-6. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Every time I remember you, I thank God. Always in every prayer of mine for you, making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began that good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, in many ways, when Paul introduced his letters, they conformed to the protocol of letter writing at the time. I mean, today we might say, dear so-and-so, and at the end we'll say, with regards, or these days, thanks, or yours sincerely, or with love from, or something like that. So there's a sort of protocol. I know with emails these days we say hi, but it's come from America, you see. But there was a protocol in those days. And so Paul is sort of using this protocol, introducing himself, giving thanks, actually even expressing joy. But on the other hand, the way in which Paul is writing is thoroughly Christian. If you like, he's Christianizing it. He's saying, I thank God, my God and Father, every time I remember you. And it expresses the joy he finds when he's praying for them. So when he's praying for them, he's praying with joy. And I was thinking about this, when we pray for people, do we always pray with joy? And probably the answer is no. And I imagine the answer would be no for Paul as well. Because there can be many, many reasons why we might pray for others. So for example, we might feel concern in praying for others. We might even feel distress or anxiety. But in this situation, Paul was praying with joy. And the next verse, in verse 5, he tells us why. He says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This word partnership is this word koinonia, which is fellowship, which speaks of this close, intimate relationship. It's used in the New Testament, mainly concerning churches or marriage. See, Paul had known these people for about 10 years at the time he's writing the letter. But we can go back 10 years previously, where we find in the book of Acts that Paul first goes to Philippi and meets these people. He came by boat up to the coast. Philippi is a bit inland, and he arrived in this great city of Philippi. And on the first Sabbath, he joined a little prayer group, a women's prayer group, down by the river. Now, the reason I put that picture there is because that's the actual river at Philippi where this group would have been. And these days they've got this little sort of memorial and a place where you can be baptized as well if you want to. And Anna and I actually were there last year, which was amazing. You see, Paul was there with his little prayer group. You see, there wasn't a synagogue in Philippi, but there was a prayer group down by the river. And Paul shared this good news about Christ's resurrection. He shared the gospel with them. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, it says, one of those who was listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, who was a dealer in purple cloth. And she was a worshiper of God. And it says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So Lydia was a businesswoman. She was also the first convert in the Bible to Christ on European soil. And she was baptized in this river. There's no question that she became a key person in the church at Philippi. And it also tells us that the church met in her house, because they didn't have church buildings back in the first century. They came later. Perhaps we begin to see why Paul held these people in his heart. He was there at the beginning when God began this good work in Lydia's life. And so he was confident for Lydia and for others that he who began this good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, God's work in our lives can sound like a frightening thing. But it's a good thing. We don't need to be afraid. It's a good thing because it brings us into fellowship or relationship with God through faith in his Son, through Christ. It says in Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That was what was going on in Lydia's heart back in Philippi. It's also good work because it brings us into fellowship with one another. So I said, God gives us special relationships as well. Sometimes, my experience, they can be for a short period or for a certain period, and then some of them can be even lifelong relationships. People who come alongside us to support us and to help us, particularly in times of need, to help us in our walk of faith, in our Christian life, perhaps to help us in our ministry, people who are there for you. You see, the Philippians were there for Paul. Now let's look second at Paul's affection for the Philippian church, verses 7 to 8. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, that is, the grace of God. Both in my imprisonment, Remy's writing from prison, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, that's his ministry of taking the gospel out to the nations as the apostle. He says, for God is my witness, I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul had great affection for these Philippian Christians. But we see here, it wasn't just a human affection. It was an affection infused with divine love, called the affection of Christ Jesus. It's actually the same word used in this verse in Matthew that is translated as compassion. When Jesus saw the crowds, it says he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And Paul says that he yearns for them with the affection of Christ Jesus. See, this fellowship, this close relationship, wasn't based primarily on feelings. It wasn't just because he happened to know them very well and had got to know them and perhaps liked them. Even it wasn't because he was the one who was responsible for bringing them to faith in Christ. This fellowship actually had also a very practical side. And I think true relationships always have a practical side of working out. From the very beginning, the Philippians had been consistent in praying for Paul and giving him financial support in his missionary work. We see this in chapter 4 of the book. And you Philippians yourselves know that from the beginning, when he first went to Philippi, when I left Macedonia, Philippi was in Macedonia, no church entered into partnership, that's the word again, fellowship, with me in giving and receiving except you only. This again helps us to understand the warmth of relationship between Paul and the Philippian church, and why he held them in his heart. And Paul attributes this fellowship to God. God who began the good work in them. He understands it as a gift. And he saw it as a fruitful outworking of God's work in the lives of the believers at Philippi. And because it was God's work, he was confident that it would continue. You know, we need, and I'm sure we understand in our experience, that we need to work in our relationships and work on our relationships. But we also need to recognize that they're a gift. And when all is said and done, we need to put them into God's hands. Thirdly, we'll get there in a minute. Thirdly, Paul's prayer for the Philippians. Well, at the beginning of the passage, he said how much he prayed for them. He prayed with joy. But here, he actually tells us the content of his prayer. It's always good, actually, to make Paul's prayers, and indeed other prayers in the Bible, our own prayers. It helps us and teaches us how to pray as well. He said, "It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent. And so being pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So we get here the details of Paul's prayer. Throughout his introduction, Paul's been praising the Philippians. He's been building them up. He's been encouraging them. And you know now in this prayer, he's praying that they'll do even better. Well, there's always room to do better. And surprise of surprises, although perhaps it shouldn't be such a surprise if we know anything about Paul, the very first thing that he prays is that your love may abound more and more. There's always room for more love. Or your love may overflow more and more. Again, a love not just based on feelings, but it says in this prayer, a love that actually is based on knowledge. A love that's based on the knowledge of those things that will please God. It's a love that needs to be tempered and directed by discerning what is good and evil. Because God's love doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. And this is the kind of love that Paul prays for. Life is full of choices, and quite frankly, it's not always easy to know what is best, is it? But we need to allow love for God and our neighbour to be our guide. More often than not, we learn by experience, and often we learn the hard way. But the more knowledge and perception we have, which is what Paul is praying for, the better we'll be able to make choices, and choices that are going to be worthwhile. When we do, this will lead to a life that becomes more Christ-like and becomes more fruitful and will be characterized by the righteousness that Paul speaks of here, which comes through faith in Christ Jesus. So Paul had a unique relationship with the Christians here at Philippi. We see that it was an overflow of the good work that God had started in them. It wasn't an end in itself, but it was a partnership in the gospel, whereby Paul, as a missionary, supported the Philippians he was supported in prayer, and particularly financially. We can't have these kind of close relationships with everyone. But I think what we can say, and what we've looked at this morning, is that it sets an example for us. It holds an ideal, and it's something that we can aim for. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, when we look at our relationships, they can very often be marked by pain and not joy. Very often they can be marked by failure. We've said things that we can't undo. We've done things that we regret. And yet, Lord, you come to bring healing, forgiveness, a new start, fellowship with Christ and with one another. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll help us, like Lydia at the river, to allow you, Lord, to open our hearts that we might step into those new areas, Lord, faith and following you, Lord, that you have for us. And that, Heavenly Father, that we might experience healing and wholeness. Father, we pray. And Father, we pray that you would help us all to protect and guard our hearts. And those we love, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.